I had a moment of panic about 13 seconds ago when I looked down and I saw page number 2 at the top. I was like, peanuts, where's 1? Luckily it was underneath. So, as per usual, I got to Friday, I was like, man, I was like, what's Exodus about? He said, I'll find out probably on Saturday night. I'm like, oh, I better actually start it tonight due to family being over on Saturday. So I did. And I'd actually started about half a dozen Exodus and they all come to an end because I don't know enough or I can't, it just turns to waffle or it's just a Bible study. So I opened up this one and it was 3 pages. Like, oh, that actually looks like it's kind of finished. So I just proofread it and here we are. So this one's mainly about, is about faith, but just one little aspect. There are a lot of quotes in this, but I'm not going to read up all the verses because I think you'll be familiar with all of them. We know that no man can earn a right to salvation like pay for a job. The only wages man is entitled to is death. As it is written, the wages of death, wages of sin is death. Doing works of sin means men become worthy of its wages, death. 3 uplifting. It is the only thing that sin ultimately is able to offer. The Bible continues to say, the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Master. Eternal life is then a gift granted to those who are individuals who try their best to avoid sin and those who show faithfulness to the one who redeemed them by shedding his blood. And we read elsewhere, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God and not the result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship created in Christ for good works, in which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The transformation of a sinner to a saint, in fact, is entirely the work of God. We are his workmanship again. It is testified that it is God who works in you. Salvation then does not come about by ourselves and our own works. This is not to undermine them from the importance, their importance, that a man's faith must be demonstrated in righteous works, but it is rather those very works themselves that come about by the influence of the word within our hearts. The faith a man has and shows in his acts in life. This forms the basis of redemption and the following transformation into immortality. These principles are bound up together in the words that came through Prophet Habakkuk. Thank goodness for Bible Gateway. It makes cross-referencing so easy. So it led me to some of these. In chapter 2, it is stated, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. This is in chapter 2. A man who is just is not a man. Now, a man who is just is not a man whose soul is elevated in pride, but one who will be given life as a consequence for the reward for his faith. King Isaiah provides us with an example of unbelief for us to learn from. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Though he began his reign trusting in God's hand to deliver him from his enemies and make his kingdom prosperous, Isaiah became puffed up in his pride and fell from his position of grace. As the proverb goes, pride goes before destruction and the haughty spirit before a fall. Seeking salvation on his own supposed merits rather than through the appointed high priest, he was struck with leprosy in his forehead and remained a leper until he died. This passage of Habakkuk mentioned is mentioned 3 times in the New Testament. On each occasion, it is a slightly different point. So I need to turn the reverb down a little bit. Let James deal to that. Is that better? I could hear the ringing in my own ears. Like, making my hair stand up. Can you hear me right, John? I think that's better, James. I could always just... There we go. All right. Habakkuk, that quote from Habakkuk mentioned three times in the New Testament, and each of these quotes has a different focus. Romans 1 speaks of the gospel of Christ, in which the power of God unto salvation, and tells us, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1. The emphasis in this chapter is on righteousness and faith. In fact, the aspect of justification through faith is a major theme in Romans. It is in the gospel that the Father's righteousness is revealed for the development of faith. The law testified to that righteousness to come. Now the righteousness of God outside the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. I'll speak his word. There we go, teething problems of new technology. As we've moved from the 20th to the 21st century of audio technology. Alright, is that better?
Okay. We get it as close as we can. We'll turn this down.
Alright, testing. Still got that back there, John?
Yeah.
There we go. Cool. Now where was it? Now the righteousness of God outside the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon them that believe. Romans 3. Being witnessed by the law and righteousness of God was revealed in Christ, and the means of redemption that comes through him. It is the righteousness that we should seek first with the kingdom that we might become complete in him. The word just, as in the just shall live by faith, is the same Greek as the word righteous. It is the righteous who will be rewarded with life, but not as the legal entitlement as in wages for work done. Rather, it will be through the development and outworking of faith. Romans 4 picks up this theme in speaking of Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. People become considered to be righteous by God as a result of the faith that they manifest in day-to-day living. Through belief and obedience to God's word, sinners can become saints in God's eyes, and being considered just, they shall live by their faith in the age to come. Galatians 3 continues this theme. Because the sinfulness of human nature is too strong to be consistently withstood by any other but Jesus himself, all men are without strength. To save themselves, and so the apostle exhorted to the believers in Galatia, as many are the works of the law under the curse. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The teaching here is that no man can be considered righteous or justified through perfect obedience, but only through faith. The focus for the Romans was on the way of becoming just and righteous. And the righteousness that the gospel declares The emphasis in Galatians 3 is that it is through faith that man might be given life. All those who seek to be justified through obedience to the law are doomed to failure, for all men are naturally sinful and unable to render perfect obedience. If there had been any law given which could have given life, certainly righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. The law brought a knowledge of sin, but the faith of Jesus Christ is able to save men from their sins. By faith in Christ, the gift of life will be given to those who believe. It's interesting that the apostle quoted this passage of Habakkuk to prove this point. The point being that according to the prophet who spoke as he was, moved by the Holy Spirit, and the just shall be given life by faith, not law. The final mention or quote of Habakkuk in the New Testament, Hebrews 10. For yet a little while that he shall come, will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. While in this place, the theme of righteousness and faithfulness is spoken of again, and emphasis is on life. We have faith or belief too, the saving of the soul. King Saul was a man who drew back, or turned back, from following God, so lost his life, and those of his sons also. But the just, like David, remained resolute in faith, and their lives may not be lost to the powers of sin, but may rather be saved. In the mentions of Habakkuk's words, we find three different aspects being brought out. The just, in Romans 1, shall live, Hebrews 10, by faith. The just, Romans 1, shall live, Hebrews 10, by faith, Galatians 3. But the last quotation we looked at in Hebrews also quotes the verse before the one that we have been considering. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Compare this with Habakkuk 2. The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak, and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. It may seem to mean that a long time passes since these words were written, the vision shall certainly come, when our Master shall arrive to take up his dominion. We have seen how the Spirit uses the words, the just shall live by faith, but when we consider the context of waiting for Jesus to come, the implication is that the faith we are to have is particularly in his return. In this lesson of patience, the context of Hebrews 10, ye have the need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. We must therefore occupy ourselves of doing the will of our Father in the time that remains, consistently watching for the reminder for the Redeemer to deliver us, and will make us like him immortal and freed from sin and death. These days, since the beginning of everything, people mock the idea of God's judgment coming, as they have done for many moons. They come walking after their own lust, saying, where is this promise of his coming? But be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as 1 day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is forbearing toward you, not wishing that any shall perish, but that all should reach repentance. The fact remains that God has appointed a day that will be judged by the one who he raised from the dead. And it is our part to keep watch for the warning signs and prepare by living in faith for that day.